He is the cup that transformation comes in. We are after a presence that changes everything. We want to make this city and this region famous for the presence of the Lord. We want to see worship that redefines
how people think of the Bible Belt.
If we want to reach this region in our area, you know, in this world, whatever, we as a church have got to come together. And it's not just one church that's going to do it. It's going to take us all.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere, that we will come against things.
He wants his kingdom to be overlaid in such a powerful way that crime drops, that sickness goes away, and even economically, this whole area can explode in the favor and the presence of God. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing to attract the kingdom of heaven? What am I doing that positions me to have something flow through me that transforms the earth around me?
It's to create a path, a clear path for God to come in today, to break through all of that stuff that's been on you all week, to break through all that depression, to break through all that sickness.
What he did on the cross was he provided everything that we need to transform this world. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Let me tell you what, it's not finished for us.
It's just starting.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I am your host. Hey Haley.
Hey there.
That was a really Southern Missouri accent.
Oh, well, you know, I tried my best.
When we lived in Kansas City, people would tell me all the time that I had an accent. I'd be like, what? And then we moved back down here, Southwest Missouri, a year and a half ago. And I'm like, oh, you start hearing all the people talking and you're like, yep, that's probably what I sound like.
Yep, that is.
Hey, real quick, Unite Worship Gatherings. The next one is being held at Impact Life Church. And it is filled up, 24 hours of extended vertical worship and food.
Yay.
So all the slots are taken thanks to all the worship leaders and musicians that have jumped in. It's going to be fantastic. Haley, give us the details on that real quick so that everybody can show up.
Okay, it's at Impact Life Church, 2301 Annie Baxter Avenue in Joplin, Missouri, Friday, April what? You didn't write down the date. You're supposed to write down all these details for me so that I can sound cool when I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Friday, April 10th at 7 p.m. and it goes through Saturday, April 11th at 7 p.m. 24 straight hours. It's going to be awesome.
The next one after that is coming up in Neosho, Missouri, and it is scheduled for May 1st and 2nd, and we're going to open up registration for that soon.
And where's that one at?
The Civic in Neosho.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a really sweet location to have a worship gathering. It's really got a vibey atmosphere.
I don't think I've ever been there. Or if I have, I don't remember it. Yeah. So
they spent a lot of money remodeling it. It's really cool.
Cool.
Awesome. You know, we were out at Logan's. I keep wanting to call it a catfish house, but it's not.
It is not a catfish house. Have you ever been to a catfish house?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But Logan's, what is it? Logan's.
It's a roadhouse.
Roadhouse. Yeah, it makes me think of that movie, Roadhouse. But let's not go there.
No, probably not a good idea.
Have you even seen the movie Roadhouse?
I've seen parts of the movie Roadhouse, but I only know that Patrick Swayze was in it, and he was all like, you know, Mr. Big Stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly, Roadhouse makes me think of Pinterest has a recipe for Texas Roadhouse rolls with cinnamon butter on, and that's what Roadhouse makes me think of.
Yeah, that's a classic example of men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or whatever.
Absolutely.
Well, we were out there with some good friends of ours, new friends of ours, Will and Crystal Yates, and we're just, you know, eating steak and chatting. And you kind of started talking about, you know, the power of living a whole life. I want you to just kind of share about that and kind of go over some of those. It was so great, you know. Like, we should have just recorded it and then all the clanging plates and
all 25 seconds of it. What?
It changed my life.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Well, I mean, we just were talking about ministry in your community and being effective in your community. And I recently just spent a lot of time contemplating my role, you know, in life. What is my purpose in life, you know, beyond wiping up little boy spills and little boy pee and little boy messes and folding little boy underwear.
And
I have three little boys and they are so gross sometimes. But anyway, so it just got me started thinking about what am I doing. And I know everybody says that motherhood is like the greatest job ever and it's the most important thing you'll ever do in the world, but you know, it doesn't always feel like that. And we were talking about the fact that the best thing that you can do to impact your community is be a whole person.
Yeah.
Deal with whatever issues you have because everyone has them. And if you just allow Jesus to get into every nook and cranny of your heart and deal with all of the issues and you allow yourself to be made whole in Him, then every area of your life will be affected by it. You will go out and you will be a whole person at your workplace, which is probably really rare.
Yeah.
You will raise your children out of wholeness so that they will not grow up with, you know, you don't need to have a savings account to pay for their therapy later in life.
Yeah.
And you will have a whole marriage and more than any, you know, tract or is that what they're called? Tracts or tracks? You know, those things you pass out at Halloween that tell everyone that it, you know.
Yes, you're going to hell, rip it
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah.
The things that never work.
Yeah, the things that never work. So more than that or any other kind of outreach, I really feel like that is one of the most important things that you can ever do in your life to display Jesus. And honestly, that's a really kind of a hard thing because some people just flat out need a therapist, but I think that part of the way that you do that, you know, is by not being afraid to process with God.
Oh.
If you think about David, okay, the dude, I don't know, maybe he was bipolar. I mean, the highs and lows in the book of Psalms are pretty astounding.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you think about that.
That guy gave us musicians a bad rap.
He did, because he was like super melancholy, and like one minute he's all like, my enemies want to eat me and cause my bones to be dust. And then the next minute he's like, oh Lord, how great you are. So I'm using him as an example because he was someone who was not afraid to process with God his issues.
Yeah.
And he's an example of the fact that God is obviously not uncomfortable or afraid of our issues.
Right.
And you can deal with things with God honestly, with your words, with your mouth, you know, and it doesn't offend God.
Right.
You having issues and being mad at your dad or whatever who left, or your mom who, you know, refused to bake your favorite cookies, I don't know. That is not, God's not afraid of that. And so I think that being willing to process with God honestly and understand that none of that scares Him is pretty essential to the whole wholeness deal. I'm still working on it. It's a process, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We're all in process. And, you know, it is vital, like you said, to understand that God's not afraid of sin. He's not afraid of these conversations, you know.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is run and hide.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, Adam and Eve did.
Yeah. Well, so. And when you understand that there's a process to go through and that you're going through it and so is everyone else.
Yeah.
It really, really helps you maybe walk in a little more mercy.
Yeah.
Although there are some people's processes that I struggle with. But well, let's not go there. But anyway, it helps you understand how to deal with other people, and you know, it's easier.
Yeah, I've noticed that sometimes part of your process is binge TV watching.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I binge watch Gilmore Girls on Netflix. Oh my gosh, I said it out loud.
And what was the other one?
Drop Dead Diva. Oh gosh, there it is.
On this week's podcast, I have a conversation with Sarah and Eben Brusco. Sarah and Eben live and lead worship at their church in Augusta, Georgia. Sarah recently released an album that was featured on Relevant Magazine entitled The Woven Whisper. The Woven Whisper is a beautiful recording full of fluid melodies, atmospheric textures, and lyrics that woo the heart into a more intimate place with God. Sarah and Eben talk a little about their newly released album, about some of the struggles they've been through, and some of the triumphs that perseverance has brought, and also about their dreams for the future. They truly are an amazing couple, and you can really hear the sincerity and transparency in their voice as they share some of their story with us. If you enjoyed this podcast, like, comment, share, and give us a review on iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at podcast@nextgenworship.com. As always, thanks for listening and enjoy my conversation with Sarah and Eben Brusco.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in.
Come rushing. All right, Sarah and Eben Brusco, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to start out. I've been listening to your CD, The Woven Whisper, and it's got such a unique sound. But I want to start out just by asking you about your history and kind of where you've come from. You guys are worship leaders. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing the last few years.
Yeah. Well, the past few years, we've been, we've both been leading worship for many years. Collectively, I've been leading worship for, I guess now about 16 years, and my husband, Eben, for about 12. I came to the Lord when I was 19, and soon after that, started just learning guitar and leading worship. And I'd grown up singing, but once I came to the Lord, it just kind of changed everything, and I realized why I was given my voice, and really just, began to step into, using it for the Lord. And just a huge part of my story that just kind of, brings me to where I am today is when I was pregnant with my son Luca, and developed this tumor that engulfed my ovary, and it cut off. It just whacked my body out completely, and one of the results was it hardened my vocal cords, and that was about, my son's eight, so it was about 8 years ago, and I couldn't talk, I couldn't sing, everything was just raspy, and it was a really rough season, and it took about 3 years for, the Lord's just completely healed me, but it's been a gradual healing, and kind of right before that all happened, Eben and I started leading worship together at Joshua House, which was a young adult ministry at Vineyard Columbus in Ohio. So we were leading together, and so when all that happened, it was really hard. I was like, oh my gosh, it was such a part of, who I was, but through losing that, the Lord just humbled me in a way that now, having all the work he's done in my heart, is priceless. What the enemy tries to harm us with, the Lord redeems and uses it for good. So we've been down here in Augusta, Georgia for about 4 years, and Eben's the worship pastor, and we lead together, and I have a team and he has a team, so we lead separately and together. But I always say that every time I lead worship now, I just lead with so much joy and gratitude, with just knowing what it has been like to lose, a gift, the Lord had given me, and just to have it restored and use it for his glory. It's just been, it's really been powerful and really priceless. And to have Eben just alongside of me just supporting this whole time has been just amazing. So a lot of the worship expressions that we have on Woven Whisper are just these expressions that have come out of times leading here on Sunday, times we've had in our small group here, and just spontaneous worship, and just really wanting there to be freedom in worship.
And the freedom pockets.
Yeah, we call them freedom pockets, where it's like, you know, like when you're leading worship or you're a part of a worship time, and there's just these moments that aren't planned, that just the Holy Spirit has just completely just come, and, you know, you don't even really realize what's happened till afterward, and you're like, that was awesome. You know, just these moments of intimacy and just freedom. We call them freedom pockets, and we wanted to really capture that in this album, so...
That's awesome. You know, that's a really powerful story, and I'm afraid a short podcast doesn't do it justice, because I can see, you know, the expression on your face when you talk about these things. How, if you're comfortable in answering this, can I ask you how you combated the fear, and maybe how you used worship to get through that time in your life?
Well, it's hard, because for this big chunk of time, the main outlet that I had with the Lord was just stripped. It was gone. You know, I'll never forget bringing my son home, you know, bringing him home from the hospital. And like, as a woman, you always have these dreams of, well, I did, of singing over your baby, you know, and I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do that. And it was just, hold on, he's got to plug the computer in for a second. It was scary, you know, like I had a doctor tell me my voice would never come back. Like, it was just a done deal. Like, these vocal cords, they're hardened, and you're just gonna have to deal with it. It's like that feeling, it felt like when you have a sore throat and you have laryngitis, but it was like years. Like, I would say 1 year of it very severe, and then after, like 6 months after I gave birth to my son, it started to gradually kind of come back. But it was just, you know, I had to come to the Lord in a whole different way, and my relationship with him deepened. There were levels that, you know, he met me that I don't think I could have been prepared for if I had not been going through such a hard time, you know. And he's just being at a point now where I know that I'm loved. Like, I know more than anything that he loves me, and that, you know, he wasn't punishing me for anything by allowing it to happen. Like, his love has completely driven out so much fear. So, I mean, you know, his perfect love does drive out fear. So it's just been a real sweet, intimate season with him, you know, coming out of such a hard, fearful season.
Well, you can really feel that in this, in these recordings. Why don't you pick your favorite song, if you can narrow it down, and give me a short story behind it.
Yeah, well, it's hard. Whenever I'm asked that question, I can't ever say I have one that's my favorite. Just, I love listening to it. Like, for me, if I was just someone listening to it, it's the one I would just put on repeat and listen to over and over. And that's A Breath. It's the very first track. And it's really short, but I love it so much just because I just think it's beautiful. Like, we had, I co-wrote it with our friend Dallas Seiden, a friend of ours down here who plays just amazing guitar, and I just was worshiping to it, and the song kind of came about. And then we had Sharon Gerber, who's just this amazing cellist. She just offered to play on it, and it's just, I love it. I love the way it sounds. I just think it's real. It's very peaceful. And it just really, it, for me, it captures everything we wanted in this album.
Jesus, I
And then my favorite as far as like just a worship tune, like a song that we've done a ton down here in Augusta, is Your Faithful Voice. And that song is really powerful and important on many levels. You know, it's been birthed out of our congregation here. You know, we wrote it for just, you know, for our church and just for our congregation. And it was written right after we had good friends down here lose a child. She gave birth to twins and they lost their son 12 hours after he was born. And that song was written kind of in the mourning process, like the mourning season of Samuel dying, and just the Lord's faithfulness. He's faithful despite our circumstances. And she sings with us on worship team sometimes, and just, you know, hearing her worship to that song and knowing just kind of where it was, you know, where it came from, has been really powerful. And I personally love worshiping to that song more than any other song on the whole album. I just, every time the words come out of my mouth, it's just, I feel it, it's, I believe it, it's truth. And so it's really special and I love it.
Why don't you take a couple minutes and just share with us some of your dreams that you have for the future? I really love hearing people's responses when I ask them about their dreams, because you know, I start hearing the voice of the Lord and you know what He's been speaking to you, and it's such a powerful place when He speaks to you about things that He wants you to do. I mean, we just really live for those moments when we know that we can carry something of Him into the world. Yeah. So what is stirring in your guys' hearts for the future?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, what's stirring in our hearts is we can't wait to kind of pastor our own church. We spend an hour a year in Northern Ireland with Alan and Catherine Scott, who are just really mentors to us. And we feel like, even though it was 8 years ago, it was kind of this prophetic time in our life that the Lord used them as a model for what He has for us. You know, Alan is a senior pastor and Catherine is the worship pastor, and they co-pastor together. And that's just our heart. Like, you know, Eben is super gifted in teaching and preaching and pastoring, and I, you know, I'd love to, you know, be a worship pastor. I'd love to step into that. And so that's really, that excites us. And that's our dream. You know, we want to, you know, co-pastor a church together.
We're journeying a lot for thinking about, we're thinking about like, how does worship play a role in city transformation? Mm-hmm. Like if people are gathering in your city, they're gathering to worship. And what does it look like to bring life to the city? And so we're experiencing some of that here, a taste of that in Augusta, and we're dreaming about that for the future. Like, what does it look like to pray for people in the chip aisle at Walmart, you know, and see the Lord show up and heal them physically? And what does it look like to, for people at their 9-to-5 jobs, to pray for a coworker's headache and see the headache go away in Jesus' name, in the power of Jesus' name. And so we're excited about that for the future. We feel like there's a lot of, like, the Lord's got a lot of good stuff for us coming up here in the future as it relates to ministry with the poor and healing. And so we're excited and dream about that a lot.
Yeah.
Often.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you really perked my ears up when he started talking about city transformation and all that. You know, some of the language you're using is some similar language I'm hearing all over the United States. I think the Holy Spirit's really up to something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us real quick, if people want to find out more about you, all of your socials and that kind of thing, where can they connect with you?
Yeah, Well, Evan might be the best one to answer this because he's just done amazing. He's been wonderful at just, you know, getting word out and getting me kind of plugged in to social media.
Yeah, it's really funny, Clint. Like, the guys at Relevant magazine contacted us and they're like, hey, we want to feature the record on Relevant. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, Relevant. And I came home and I told Sarah and she's like, I've got laundry to do. Like, I'm raising kids, Relevant. I mean, she's honored to do it, but she could like really kind of care less about all of this stuff that goes around me.
It's not that I don't care. It's funny. It's funny because I'm a mom and, you know, I do a lot of laundry, yeah. And this is just something that's been so amazing to be able to do and be a part of that. But anyway, I'm on Twitter, just Sarah Brusco, mm-hmm. You know, on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. I think is there a Woven Whisper page on Facebook?
There is on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/thewovenwhisper. And then she's kind of signed with, not signed, but partnering with Morning and Night Music, and that's run by a friend of ours in Sonoya, Georgia, named Jeremy Dunn, and we've done a couple collaborations with him for Easter and Christmas, so he hosts her website there at morningandnightmusic.com, so.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I love your hearts. I can tell that we have like hearts on a lot of things we talked about today.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that we got to make the connection, and I wish you guys the very best.
Thank you.
You too, Clint. We feel the same way, man. Just to chat with you. When the power went out there, I was like, man, he's got a great heart. Like we just, you can feel that even through Skype, you can feel that. So
yeah,
it's good,
absolutely.
Man.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking this time with us, Clint.
Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.